Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hi, good evening. How are you? I hope everything's good with you. And we're back for another show. So, we're launching something today. So I hope you guys will get involved. And it's called the 7-Day Mental Diet, which I laughingly read the write-up and we were meant to start on the 1st of July. Well, I messed up, okay? I thought July was next week. It's not. It started on Wednesday. So I just had to laugh at myself and take myself a little bit lightly on that one and say, well, we'll be starting it later in July. But it's really important. And what is so amazing was the guy who came up with this, first of all, was Emmett Fox, Dr. Emmett Fox. And he wrote a book, a small pamphlet called The 7-Day Mental Diet back in the 1935, I think it was. And I've read it, obviously, a few times, and it is just so relevant to what we're going through right here, right now, and also very, very relevant to modern living. You know, basically, you choose your life, you choose all the conditions of your life, and when you choose your thoughts, you know, if you allow your mind to dwell on them, and they're not very helpful, they're negative, you know, thoughts is the real causative force in life. You know, it's very important to understand and look at our mental diet and what we're actually feeding ourselves on, and is it positivity or is it negativity? You cannot have one kind of mind and another kind of environment. And basically what he says is this means you cannot change your environment while your mind is unchanged, nor can you change your mind without your environment changing too. So it's, you know, it's looking at cause and effect here. And, you know, this is the real key to life. If you change your mind, your condition must change too. Your body must change. Your daily work and other activities must change. Your home must change. The colour and tone of your whole life must change. For you, habitually, you know, are you happy and cheerful or of low spirits and fearful? It depends entirely on the quality of the mental food on which you diet. You know, and you must be clear about this. If you change your mind, your conditions must change too. You know, you transform by renewing our minds. And that's really important to take on board. So, you know, in renewing our minds, so now you see that your mental diet is really an important thing to your whole life. So we're whacking out a challenge here, the 7-Day Mental Diet, which is going to start probably on the 24th of July. And, you know, let's blast away those lockdown blues, refocus, rewire the mind for success, peacefulness and clarity, so that we can change our world and what we experience on a daily basis. It's just really important, and we'll be talking about, obviously, we're talking about this tonight. So I just want to hand over to Matthew and let him say hi, howdy doody. So Matthew,
good evening, everybody. Yeah, or good afternoon, depending on where you're listening from. Yeah, I'm really excited about when we were talking about the challenge, because it was one of the sort of things that came up for me when I first started doing some of the work that Penny's talking about. You sort of think, well, actually, there's not a lot wrong with me, and I my behaviours are pretty good. And then when you start digging in and actually realise some of the behaviours that we've all got over time, when you look at the general world we live in, it's all about sort of having new things and having big houses, fast cars, all that sort of thing, designer labels. And it doesn't matter whether it's a Ferrari or a pair of shoes. It's kind of like if you would love to experience it because it makes you feel good within yourself, if it's just personal to you, that's okay. But if it's just to cover the unhappiness or whatever it is, I've found working with a lot of clients that they can have a lot of abundance but no happiness, and they will cover things up, and we create ways of surviving. So we will for me it was going out and partying. If I was going out and I was concentrated on, oh yeah, we're going out on the weekend and it's going to be really good, and that was my focus sort of all week, it was about going out to really nice places and partying. And for other people, it's, they didn't go out and party, but it was designer clothes for them. They stayed in, but they have all the designer clothes. And it's just what we talk about, the band-aid over the bullet hole. It's, oh, well, if I've got this new bike, then I feel happy enough for now. And then another 6 months goes by, and it's kind of like suddenly you need something else to keep you happy, because you're not quite as happy as you were when you got the bike 6 months ago. And it was just amazing that the depth with, when you really start looking into it, and you, some of the most amazing changes can come from just the realization around patterns of behavior and how you're responding in life because of something that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago. For me, I was responding on patterns that pretty much I'd sort of developed by the time I was sort of 7 years old. It was, this is how life is going to be, there's the benchmark, that's how it is. Until I did the work at basically reversing that, almost like dehypnotizing myself and dehypnotizing the mind, because we tell ourselves so much BS, it's unbelievable. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. How many of them are positive and how many of them are negative? Because they say the average is 20% positive. And that's a choice. We can choose that. So it was very much doing the training. It was kind of like, right, well, how can we flip that 80% of negative thoughts into positive thoughts, into the things we want? Because all the time we're thinking negatively, we're praying or manifesting what we don't want. If all you're putting out to the universe is negative stuff around yourself and your situation, that's all you're going to get back as evidence. So, of course, it's going to seem true because you keep getting the evidence, but it's because you're choosing to. And I never really got that before I did the work. It was kind of like, well, what do you mean it's me that's the problem? It was kind of that disassociation. Well, I'll take no responsibility, but it just makes such a huge difference. And that's why I thought this 7-day challenge will be absolutely, well, it'd be life changing.
It is. It's awesome. And, you know, we all start off, you know, as soon as someone says diet, it's amazing how many people's minds just completely and utterly reject listening to what is going to come next, because yes, we've all had all sorts of different diets, veggie diets, you know, this type of diet, that type of diet, you know, shoved it through us, really. And definitely everybody's interested in diets, but you know, everybody's minds are on, you know, today and present day. You get online stuff, offline stuff, magazines, TV programs, all about diets or what you should be eating, you know, books filled with, you know, unfolding the mysteries of proteins, starches, vitamins, as I said, veggie diets, you know, basically for every single condition that man knows, there's a diet, special diet for it. You know, the whole world is conscious of diet and obsessed with food, really. And you have experts on the subjects which basically tell you you are what you eat, that your whole body is really composed of food that you've eaten in the past. So what you eat today, they say, will be in your bloodstream, and it builds up tissues and composes your body, and that's who you are. You know, and no sensible person is going to argue with that because it's perfectly true. But physical diets, you know, don't really interest me that much. And it's, you know, I want to deal with something right this evening, which is far more reach, has far more reach than that. And it's mental dieting, you know, as Matthew began to say, you know, it's one of the most important factors in your life is your mental diet and on which you live. And it's, you know, if you're eating food, you want to take in food that nourishes you and nourishes your mind. And it, again, looking at the mental diet, you want to take on board things that nourish your mind and determines the whole character of your life. You know, it's the thoughts that we allow ourselves to think and the subjects that you allow into your mind and dwell on which make you and your surroundings what they are. So it's incredibly profound. And, you know, as I was looking at this and I was just, reading Dr. Emmett Fox's book, you know, I was, Matthew and I turned around to each other and say, yeah, I was just the nodding dog. You know, in other words, I'm agreeing with everything he's saying. And absolutely. And it kind of blew my mind slightly that this was written in 1935, and just astonishing. And you know, people are beginning to realise and really begin to work with this stuff, because if you change your mind, your conditions must change too. So if we start looking at what we're thinking, and we start looking at it and not taking it too seriously, and understanding that pattern interrupts, which we've talked before, if we pattern interrupt on a negative thought and we stop it dead, then, you know, it's not going to affect your mental diet because you've done something about it. It's when we habitually just dwell on things and keep on allowing it to come back into our mind. So it's like we build, as Matthew was saying, more and more evidence each time we go around a loop and have a series of the same thoughts. We're just suppressing them even deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, this is not healthy for us. And it's not healthy for us to dwell on things that have irritated us or annoyed us, or we find that we're dragging back into a conversation that maybe we had an hour or 2 hours ago, and we're still repeating it, and it's still going around our minds. And, you know, your body must change, you know, for your daily work and other activities, it must change. And the colour and tone of your whole life must change so that you actually turn in to be habitually happy and cheerful rather than low-spirited and fearful. And it depends on, again, you know, I'm going to reiterate this right here, right now, it depends on the mental food in which you diet. And it is rooting out those things, you know, when we realise that maybe we're in a negative loop, it's very important to interrupt that loop so we can get back into our authentic selves, you know. And as we transform by reviewing our minds, you know, and we really look at the mental diet, it's really the most important thing in your whole life. I cannot reiterate that more. You know, it is the mental diet which is so important. And, you know, we call it the great cosmic law. It, you know, the truth is seen and it's perfectly obvious once it is clearly stated in this way that mental diet is really, really important. So just hand it back to Matthew for a few minutes whilst he adds his little bit to that.
Brilliant. Thanks, Penny. Yeah, I think mental diet, it is very much like when I remember having a conversation with Luke, for anyone that doesn't know that, that's Penny's husband, and it was around at the time I was helping them do their house up, and we were watching some stuff on Netflix, and we were just talking about different subjects that we chose to watch. And he explained the vibration of what you're watching. And even just that conversation was so profound, because I realised that actually I wasn't regulating what I watched. I wasn't regulating what my brain was witnessing when I was sitting there watching a film or a soap or whatever it was. And it caused me to cull a lot of programs and a lot of subjects that I would quite happily sit there and watch before, because and not only did it change sort of my mood in general, but also one thing I did find is I had a pattern of watching television before bed, and when you're watching stuff that isn't necessarily high vibrational just before you go to bed, do you think you're going to have high vibrational dreams? Because the answer is no. Because one thing I found is I had this pattern of watching this specific sort of programs on Netflix. And they wouldn't, I mean, they weren't nasty programs, but when you look at some of the violence in films and the drugs and that sort of stuff, and we just see it as normal, or I just saw it was normal. That's just normal. That's just what people make TV about. Whereas when you look at what you're actually feeding your mind, it's really, really not good. And it actually made a massive change to not only my dreams, but waking up in the morning and feeling good rather than still being almost connected to the program the night before. And it is that, what are you putting in? Are you taking on high vibrational, positive mindset? It's real easy to live in one world or the other. You can live in a world of negative and the world's against me and things never go my way. And that used to be me. And it's real easy to flip it into everything goes your way. You manifest like there's no tomorrow. Everything seems to happen for everyone's highest will and good around you. But it's just, life's great. And it is that once you start feeding yourself the good stuff, more will come. And it's one thing I found that was real made a change with my mindset, because I was feeding it less negative input, it was easier to regulate what was going on and what was outputting, sort of thing. And it was, I had more clarity around sort of what was going on in my own mind, because I was just focusing on what was in there rather than taking on a whole load of other stuff. And it's like visually we do just imprints on us, and we don't even realise the effects it can have. And when you start working on the mindset, it helps you. Oh, well, there we go. We're just about to go into a break, so yeah, we'll have a quick cup
of tea.
We'll
talk to you after.
See you on the other side.
Conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization Their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
A social distancing tip.
Putting distance between yourself and others is critical to slowing the spread of coronavirus. So here are ways to stay in contact without the physical contact part. Call, send a text, set up a video conference, post on social media, dedicate a song on the radio. If you have symptoms of fever, dry cough, and shortness of breath, call your healthcare provider before going to their office. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
So we're back. I just wanted to talk about some of the practical difficulties when applying the mental diet. And it usually arises from the fact that our thoughts are so close to us that it's difficult to separate. And without any practice, to stand back, as it were, and look at them objectively, you know, it's something that we need to learn to do when we're definitely doing a challenge on looking at what your mental diet is. And you must train yourself to choose the subject of which you're thinking at any given time, and also to choose the emotional tone or the mood and its colours, because you can choose your mood. Indeed, you know, if you didn't take control of your mood, it would control you. So moods habitually, you know, are important, and you know, they produce characteristics and dispositions of the person concerned, and it's his disposition that finally makes him or mars that person's happiness. You cannot be healthy and happy, and you cannot be prosperous if you have a bad or poor disposition, i.e. if you're sulky or surly or cynical or depressed, superior or frightened out of your mind about what is going to happen in this world right here, right now. Your life cannot possibly be worth living, you know, unless you are determined to cultivate a good disposition and a happy demeanour, you know, which gives hope and automatically opens up your life experience to everything is possible rather than everything is impossible. And looking at that, and it makes you a kinder person. It makes you more interested in other people, rather than just wallowing in your own mire. And it's really important. You know, you can, it's really important to start to select your thoughts. You know, what are you going to think of today? You may as well give up hope of shaping your life if you don't commit to doing this at some stage, because it's the only way to change the inner and outer experience that you're having right here, right now. So So again, Matthew, is there anything else you would like to add to that? Because you know I can rant on this.
Yeah, it was interesting when the break music hit. I suddenly went into, oh no, I was going to mention that. So it was one thing that was huge for me and made a big change is when I realised that how much I was lying to myself. And I sort of put the question out to a lot of people and said, like, are you lying to yourself? And that is, it's easy to tell ourselves that we don't have to do something. For me, some of it was around food and exercise. So I wasn't eating the right foods and I wasn't doing the exercise. But I would tell myself I don't need to do the exercise because I'm naturally fit. And I can get away with it. And it was basically, I was completely lying to myself and not taking any responsibility for my physicality. And people would look and say, oh, that's all right, you go to the gym. And it's like, no, I don't. And I'd use that as an excuse and say, well, I can get away with it. And it was that whole, it's like, if you're lying to yourself and you're telling yourself you're doing something or you're avoiding something, you won't trust yourself. Because if you don't trust someone, you don't believe what they say. And so changing your mindset, you have to change your behaviour as well. It has to go hand in hand. Because for me, it was that aha moment around getting them congruent, where it was like, I'm not lying to myself anymore, so I know that I can trust myself, so I believed what I was telling myself. And it was a real interesting, it's like when you join the dots and you go, oh, finally, I've been working on this puzzle for 6 months and suddenly I've found the last piece of the puzzle that goes in the middle. But that was a real big thing for me. It was just putting everything on the table and just going, right, okay, let's just strip it back to the bare truth and see what's in there. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what you find, because ultimately, you can make gold out of anything that you find. And it was one of the biggest things when I realised that I was the one that was lying to myself. I was the one that was keeping myself within that prison. And even when I'd done some work on mindset, I just wasn't shifting. And it was when I really sucked that one up that it was like, right, okay, well, let's move on from here then. So that's the only thing I wanted to add. And it is that very much, yeah, this 7-day challenge is everything that we're talking about now that you will discover within yourself. Some of it you'll like and you can keep that, and some of it you won't like and you'll have to go, well, right, okay, well, let's make a change. So it's you either win or learn on this challenge. So I'm super stoked. I'm really excited about it because I know even though we're organising it, running it, we're going to get so much gold ourselves.
Every time.
Because you always do. You always
Yeah, every
do.
Time. And you know, we're not going to turn around to you and say this is going to be real simple, because it's not. It's going to be quite difficult for the first few days. But if you persevere, what you'll find it rapidly becomes easier. And it's actually the most interesting experience that you could ever make. In fact, you know, this thought control is a thrilling hobby, an interesting hobby, because you get to actually start to find out how your mind is working. And, you know, and not many people have done that in their lives. And, you know, what is amazing is that anybody can take it up, and you'll be amazed at the interesting things that you'll learn about yourself. And, you know, you'll start getting results almost immediately. And, you know, the one thing I would say to you is, you know, try not to do it sporadically. Try and just say, right, OK, I'm going to try this for the week. And, you know, Some people take to it like a duck to water, and some people are going to have problems with it. And that's okay. It's actually just making the commitment to try it out. And, you know, I've also been around a few a few hundreds of people who've tried this over time, not necessarily in this in a challenge way, but it's something that we teach, is very much it's a case of you fall on and you fall off and you fall on and you fall off. I would highly, you know, recommend that you commit to doing a week and you stick with it for as long as you can. And, you know, thoughts will come. It's about thoughts that come and stay. If, you know, it's Emmett talks about, you know, a person sitting in front of a fire and, you know, an ember comes out of the fire because it's a real fire. It jumps out of the fire and lands on your sleeve. Now, if you automatically just brush it off, it won't harm the shirt that you're wearing or the jumper you're wearing or the jacket that you're wearing because you brush it off really quickly. But if you don't brush it off, it will damage the sleeve of your that garment and burn a hole in it. And then it will take some time to sort it all out. Whereas, you know, if you can think of thoughts in the same way, if a negative, because we're all going to have negative thoughts, you know, you're not going to stop negative thoughts on the first day or the second day. They're going to happen. Okay, so, you know, don't set yourself up for failure here. Just go, okay, so it's going to happen. But I need to respond and brush them off as if they're an ember from the fire. Brush them off real quick. And, you know, you may even want to say to yourself, that's interesting, but I'm not buying it. Okay? That's interesting, yeah, but I'm not buying it. And just brush it off. And then the pattern interrupt is good to bring in, which you can either walk in nature, you can do a dance around your kitchen, listen to loud music, you can go meditate, whatever it is, do a pattern interrupt and actually nail that thought. Don't allow it to come back in. You know, once it's come back in, you know, it's just like, thank you for sharing. Brush it off and get on with the rest of your life. Because if we can do that, and we do that consistently for a week, your mind will have changed. Your brain will have rewired. And your brain will be now hardwired for success and happiness and joy and prosperity and all of those amazing things. And it literally just takes a week. Isn't that worth investing in? I mean, I love this stuff. I just go, yay! Yeah. Let's get it on.
I called that bit the journey of the broken records, because what I found funny was when I did flip the mindset and it was like fundamentally different. The thought forms that come in, the old ones that sort of echo for a little while. That's what I called like the broken records, because it was like the old stuff, and it would sort of come in and it'd go, oh right, that old chestnut, yeah, I haven't heard that one in a while, and you can just let it go so much easier rather than it being consuming you, because that's the great thing. People say, oh well, I have to get rid of these thoughts, and I can't control them, and it's like once you get that realization around you. You are your mind. You have that control. It is up to you what you play in that television set in your head, for want of a better expression. But it's like you choose the cast. You choose the music. You're choosing the movie. And it is that with your thoughts. And so even I found the space in between the old stuff. It was just like listening to a bunch of old records. And then they just stop playing. Because when you don't listen to a song, it doesn't come up on your iPod again. So if you change the algorithms within your own mind, you'll stop attracting the negative posts, for want of a better expression. So it is that once you really start changing that, and it's probably that's probably how millennials would understand it best, if we said it's working with your own algorithms and fundamentally changing them. Because we know different algorithms attract different things.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and it is the scientific way to alter your life and being according to all of the great spiritual laws. It cannot fail. And I'll repeat that. It cannot fail. You know? Now, do you realise that by working with this, you know, if you don't work with it, you will not change your conditions. If you do work with it, your life will change into what you would desire it to be. Okay? Yeah, I mean, you cannot change the conditions directly, but if you go within, you can change them. Okay? And, you know, it is... You know, again, so what's the prescription here? This is, what am I signing up for? Sort of attitude. And it's, you know, it's a seven days. You must not allow yourself to dwell for a single moment on any kind of negative thought. Okay? So you must watch yourself for the whole week. It's like, you know, like a cat watches a mouse. Yeah, it's like it's absolute focus, and that's the problem that most people will have is needing to have that absolute focus, because it's actually making you stay present, and you have to be present in order to find out what your mind is doing, because otherwise, thoughts will just come piling in, and you'll have real problems with it. If you just, you know. Again, as I said, negative thoughts will come. It's how we actually deal with them. So it's not dwelling on any thought that is not positive, constructive, optimistic, or kind. And, you know, this type of discipline is quite strenuous when we first have to, you know, we have to actually look at things like this. But it's really important that knowing that the first couple of days, you know, it's going to be reasonably tough, but you can do it. You can do it. And, it, you know, it's very much, you know, obviously we don't expect you to go more than a week. And if you find that you have fallen off the diet, if you cannot sustain it, stop it. Do not try and restart it in the same day. Take a couple of days off. And then restart it, yeah? Because a week will be enough for you to change your mind forever into a new way of being, which is really encouraging. And, you know, when you actually think about it, you know, how many of us have gone on holiday for a week? You know, you enjoy the week. You can survive a week with changing habits. And you can survive a week doing practically anything. So monitoring your thoughts, you know, just allow it to be easy. Don't set it up to be difficult. Okay?
Yeah, so once you've done... part of the mind tells you it's going to be difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, our mind can sometimes be our worst enemy. So anyway, we'll have a break and we'll be back.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, so we're back. So I just wanted to talk for a few minutes on, you know, what happens about negative thoughts and conditions which are impossible to avoid, you know, wherever you were today, or what about ordinary troubles that you meet at the office or at home? And it's really important to look at things like that, because, you know, if you're going to go and do the, you know, 7-day mental diet, you want to set yourself up, as we're saying, for success, not failure. So, you know, it's looking at it and just going, you know, you don't have to accept them, but by fearing them or by believing them, being indignant about them or sad about them, that's what gives them the power. So any condition that duty compels you to do will not necessarily affect your diet. If you go to the office, or you've got stuff at home that you need to deal with, it's about dealing with them without allowing them to affect you. You know, so when I say that basically nothing ever moves you, okay? And, you know, if you have that attitude, all will be well, you know? Again, a different scenario. If you were going out to lunch with a friend who talks negatively, get my teeth back in, and you don't try and shut them up, because otherwise, you know, you're snubbing them and you're actually being quite unkind. Let them talk, but do not accept what they say, or your diet will be affected. So suppose you're coming home and you're greeted with, you know, somebody who's basically, oh, this happened and that happened, and the kids were really behaving badly, and, oh my God, you know, such and such happened, blah, 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 blah. Don't go into preach mode. Don't give them a sermon. Don't make it wrong. Just let it wash over you, but just don't accept it. Don't be pulled by it, in other words. You know, it is your mental consent. You know, remember, you know, what constitutes your diet. It's what we consent to believing or consent to take on board. You know, it's, you know, part of this 7 days is learning how to be a witness, but not actually get dragged. So if you witness an accident or an act of injustice, just stay within self. Instead of reacting with pity or, you know, oohs and ahs or gnashing of teeth and beating of chests, you know, indignation, just refuse to accept the appearance of it. You know, just give it face value. Just know that it hasn't harmed you. It hasn't affected you. You don't have to be dragged by it. You don't have to go in as a rescuer. You don't need to set it right. You just need to look at it and go, that's interesting, and let it go. So again, is there anything else you want to say there, Matthew?
No, I think it just reiterates for me just the huge change that can come from it. Even just when you're aware of something, not only can you change the initial thoughtful, but very much as you were saying, how you respond to stuff as well. Because often it's not about what's going on the outside. It's what, because that's just showing you what you need to get of what's going on the inside. So it's very much about how we respond to those sort of situations and stuff that's going on. I mean, I worked within the construction industry for a long, long time, and you see many varieties of characters, and you would have the guys that it's literally everything has a negative sort of thought form to it. And for me, what I used to do is, I won't name him, but guy Clive at work, he was literally, he could have you in a bad mood by the time you'd finished your coffee in the tea hut, just because it was just so much doom and gloom. And I thought, well, actually, I'm choosing to let it affect me. I'm allowing myself to, I have a choice here. I can either A, walk out the tea hut and leave and not be around it, or respond in a different way. And I thought, you know, for every negative thing he says, I'm going to say two positive things. Because if I'm going to have to sit in a tea hut because it's raining and we're having lunch or whatever, it's like I'm not going to allow myself to keep getting stuck in it. So I found just by being positive, it's like kill it with kindness sort of thing. and it was very much, I realised, kind of like it was my responsibility to change the outcome if I didn't like what was going on. And that's not shout at him and make him wrong, which some people choose to do. But it's about saying, well, you know, that people are at where they're at. We're not going to resonate with everybody. And it's about choosing that situation. And if you have to work with that person or be in that environment with somebody that you find negative or you don't necessarily agree with, it's kind of like finding peace with it in the most high vibrational way. And I often find that's with love. You don't train a puppy with a drop kick, you do it with love. And it's the same with people that you don't resonate with, people that you don't like. We see it in what's been going on recently. It's like you've got people fighting for no other reason than they're just angry. They're not responding in the right way. And some people out there are doing an amazing job with some of the marches and stuff that's going on, and just some of the stuff behind the scenes, not necessarily just the stuff that's in the media. But it's the behind the scenes where fundamentally things are changing, that it's going to make the future better for us and our children, because we're making a change now, and that's saying, you know, we've got to forgive and forget the past, and we can't persecute people from now on because of what happened before. We have to draw a line in the sand and move forwards from here as one, because it's the only logical way of doing it. And being violent and blaming the past and just bringing that up, that's just more violence, and it's just more negativity.
And that's why it's so important to look at, you know, some of the things that you are taking on board, you know, what your mental diet is. And, you know, it's not very helpful if, you know, in the week that you're actually doing it, to necessarily expose yourself to some people. You know, if they if they're likely to arouse the devil in you because you don't actually like them or you find them really tough, then see if you can not see them that week. You know, people who get on your nerves or rub you up the wrong way or bore you, they're probably better to avoid whilst you're on the diet. And, you know, give yourself the best possible chance when you do the diet, the 7-day diet, to actually get through it with, you know, glowing, you know, a resounding yes. You know, it does take a little bit of extra discipline, but that's all, you know. And again, you know, if you're having a particular trying or ordeal during the week, don't beat yourself up about it. Stop the diet, have a few days off before you go back to it, because, you know, it's all well and good, but if something actually happens during that week which is traumatic to you or your family or, you know, whatever it is, you know, sometimes it's just good to go, okay, I did commit to this, but however, it's not helpful trying to do this right here, right now. I need to be sensible. I need to put this down. I would really like to commit to this another time, and give yourself the rest of the week off. And, you know, yes, having, you know, in your awareness now, if you're listening to this, is about, you know, in your awareness is about, you know, what you put into your mind and what your mental diet is. And it will start to really begin to show up in your life. And you'll start looking at it and going, oh, you know, maybe Penny or Matthew had a point here. Maybe this is something that I could look at some stage. But it's really important to know what you're taking on board. And that's why we're spending a whole hour doing this rather than skipping through it and just saying it's a great idea without going into the whys and wherefores. And it's really important to, you know, have a reasonable foundation of what you're going in to, yeah? And it's just going, okay, so what can I put into place that can help me with this? And, you know, and I would, you know, in some ways, I would keep this project strictly to yourself. I mean, we will have support groups up. We'll be posting. We've got a Facebook group running now with this to help and support people. But it's really important to remember that, you know, sometimes you don't want to tell people, you know. Sometimes remember that your soul should be a secret place of the Most High. And when you've successfully finished your 7 days, then it's a case of, oh yeah, Mexican wave, let's go, that's great. And also, I think one of the most important things, and I definitely want to get this in before we get off the radio, is nothing said or done by anybody else can possibly throw you off the diet. Only your own reaction to somebody else's conduct can do that. So nothing anybody says or does can throw you off the diet. Only your reaction to somebody else's conduct can do that. And, you know, I also wanted to, you know, express my absolute gratitude and great thanks to Dr. Emmett Fox for bringing this into, you know, manifesting this into the world, you know, because, again, God is life. And I understand that and express it. God is truth. I understand that and express it. God is divine love. I understand that and express it. And if we have all of those things going on in our minds, by heaven, we're going to crack this. So, handing back to Matthew for a minute.
Yeah, so just to let you know, if anybody's interested in the course, obviously get in touch either through the Facebook community group, or you could private message to Acorn to Oak. But do it. Give it a go. Why not? You've got nothing to lose. And it's the same with all of our trainings. It's very much like we use a scientific approach. with a spiritual outlook, and with people do make fundamental changes in their life. So make sure you're one of them. It's like, give it a go. Like we always say, don't necessarily believe what we say, test what we say. That's how I learn, is it's testing it for yourself. It's not just believing what somebody will tell you. It's trying it and truly believing it. It goes back to that belief. When you believe it can happen to you, then everything changes. So it's not just about us saying that we've done it, it's about then giving you the chance to do it. So really do give yourself the best chance at it. We use the law of sod it. It's kind of like, you know, you put the time aside and you give yourself that commitment. So really give yourself that commitment. Don't reach for the Mars bar on the second day of the diet, sort of thing. and for me, it's the great one of the greatest steps you can take. So yeah. It's been a
anyway. We'll post it up on the internet, and I hope you can join us with it. If not, you know, we send you our blessings and our love.
Take care, everybody.